My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The defense by Sinogo.
Take it.
Bouzelis caught a body underneath. Matas.
Wow.
Mad on that.
There's not a lot of people in the building. They've left, but the ones that are here are on their feet. He gave a little life to the building. Oh, Mr. Bouzelis. I'm talking about tired. Forget that.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Bears training camp coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Trista Crick here on 670 The Score. We've been talking a little bit about the excitement around the Bears, who, in my opinion, are the most interesting team in the NFL this year, which is why Hard Knocks is following them. A team with a power player, their quarterback already flexing his muscles. He's got a potent wide receiver room. Got a shiny new offensive coordinator. We talked about that. One of the most innovative schemers in the game, by the way. I don't think Shane Waldron is going to be the, like, Luke Getsy type. I really don't. You've got a defense that's looking to build on what they did so well last year after Montez Sweat got to Chicago. And a team with a ton of expectations around them. A team that hasn't had a franchise quarterback in a long time. In fact, they've been really starved for one. So, yeah. If things aren't as good as expected, jobs even may be lost. So then you contrast this, guys. You contrast it with a team with almost zero buzz around them. Almost zero. A team with a lot of question marks around the team. I'm talking about the Chicago Bulls. Ugh. Ugh. And I know, like, it's mean. It's mean to be so dismissive and so disgusted. But it's also fair, right? I was in Summer League. I was at Summer League in Vegas. Ended up, by the way, I told this to Robbie off air, but I'll fill you guys in. So there's this, like, weird food poisoning called ciguatera. Never heard of it before, like, I got it. Apparently, it's like a tropical fish food poisoning. I got that at one of the fanciest Chinese restaurants in all of Las Vegas. Because why wouldn't it happen to me? Laid me on my ass for like 3 straight days. Thought maybe there was death around the corner. Like, I really did. I talked to a doctor, and the doctor said, Trista, it is very important for you to drink as much Gatorade and Pedialyte and eat as many bananas as possible, because things could spiral out of control fast. I was like, Doc, I don't even know what that means. I don't know what that means. Does that mean hospital? Like, spiral out of control means, to me, death, right? Like, that's to me what that means. Like, other than that, I don't know where to go with it. So I was thinking that was harshing my mellow, but it may be have been the best thing for me. I didn't need to be in that gym. No, I did not. I did not need to be spending my time 12 hours a day in the gym in one of the worst draft classes I've ever seen. I watched a lot of it, and I think I watched way too much. Top picks, very underwhelming. Second round pick, Bronny James, was the main attraction. He was the guy, a second round pick, number 55 overall, was the guy on the billboards as you drove around the strip. Fam. People don't even know, like casual fans don't even know those two number one and number two picks. Because why? Because they're French, right? Like, we don't have an American superstar player as the number one pick. And Wembanyama broke that mold. But I tell you what, Alex Saar, not that guy. Number two, Alex Saar, was 0 for 15 in a game. Detroit Pistons guard, because Robbie's that fan, number five pick, Ron Holland, looked absolutely lost. He looked more comfortable in his Celine bell bottoms and his boots with the basketball in his hand the first day in the back-to-back than he did in the second day with the uniform on his body. Number seven pick, my team, Donovan Klingon, almost no offensive skills, like doesn't have them. They keep telling me he could be Brook Lopez. Fam, the hitch in his shot, baby, I do not see it. Zach Edey instantly hurt, and then he came back on the floor, got hurt again, sprained his other ankle. But there was a bright spot. Oh, yes, there was a bright spot. And it was a player who, to me, based on this organization's decision-making in the past, I had literally zero expectations for. Modest Buzelis. Chicago born and bred Lithuanian. I thought this was like a Lithuanian like brotherhood pick. Like, okay, AK, I get it. Arturas Karnasovas, Lithuanian. Matas Buzelis, Lithuanian. So like, okay, like that was his scouting report, right? I saw Matas three times in person. Bulls fans, get effing excited. Really, I swear to you, outside of Reed Sheppard, Modest was like my favorite player to watch. The kid is all gas. All gas. He never takes his foot off of it, no matter what is happening with the game. Let me just tell you like what kind of man Modest is. He has one tattoo on his body, one, on his little calf. No, I'm no shade to the calf size. I'm not saying it like that. And it is an outline of a basketball going into a hoop. That's it. There's no shading. There's no tattoos around it. That's it. The kid cares about hoops. He is athletic. He is bouncy. He is aggressive. And with that tattoo, he tells you everything you need to know. He is confident. He is extremely confident. Well, I know that it sounded trite when they were like, what do you care about? He's like, I care about winning. What do you care about in terms of your rookie accolade? Nothing. Winning. Just winning. The only thing that I'll say is, like, I feel bad for Modest, because that's not on the agenda for this team right now. He has handles. He puts his chestnuts in the defender's face all the time. He loves to bam on you. He was chirping at the ref, being like, that's some weak stuff. That's some soft stuff. Ref, come on. You can't call these fouls. It's summer league. You have 11 fouls to your name before you foul out. I kind of like him. I like this kid. I think he's like the wish. I'm not going to say wish. I think he's like the diet version of Cooper Flagg in a lot of ways. I love his personality. He's going to be a cult hero. But the problem for my guy is he has no, even on a team that has no real ability to compete for anything meaningful, they are going to And they're going to be like respective. They want to be respectably mediocre. Dumb. So dumb. We're going to have Will Gottlieb coming on the show next. We're going to talk to him about that. But like, Mattis, unless something drastic happens, isn't going to start games. He's going to come off the bench. We don't even get the Chicago Rookie of the Year buzz for Chicago's own Mattis. He averaged 18-4-1 at Summer League with 4 stocks per game. Which is what leads me to this feeling as it relates to the Bulls. What are you guys doing? What, baby, are you doing? This might be the most confusing team in all of sports. Seriously. Until a few days ago, Vegas, they were the only team in the NBA that Vegas did not have a win total for. Meaning, I don't know, you got, like, your guess is as good as mine. Do you know how often that Vegas can't get a team pegged? Pause. Like, never, almost never. The list said N-A. I'm not talking about Narcotics Anonymous. I'm talking about not applicable. There is no applicable win total for this garbage-ass team. We don't know. We could not tell you. We don't know even what their plans are. The win total as of today, which is, for those who do not bet, how many games Vegas expects the Bulls to win on the season, give or take, right? It's 30.5. 30.5. 8.5 games worse than last year, which would put them at like 6th or 7th worst in the NBA. So not good. Not good at all. Could F around and get like a top pick. Remember, Atlanta was a play-in team last year, and they got Rishashe, the number 1 overall pick. But like, to be honest, if you're going to be one of the worst teams in the NBA, why not just be the worst team in the NBA? What's the difference, really? Why not give Mattis as many minutes as he wants? Why are you holding him back? Why are you saying he doesn't get to start? Because you really want to give, I don't know, Ayo Dosunmu those minutes? No shade to Ayo. I like Ayo a lot. Like, no, like, you want to give Patrick Williams those minutes? Who are we giving? You want to give Zach LaVine those minutes? Why? Because we're so, they don't even play the same position, him and Zach LaVine, by the way. But there's 4 can't-miss prospects in this draft, this upcoming draft, and you owe a top 10 protected pick to the San Antonio Spurs. Dylan Harper, 6'5 combo guard, one of the most, I think he has the highest floor in this draft. He would go number 1 overall easily in this draft, this last draft. Ace Bailey, a wing who I think could be like Andrew Wiggins with the better motor. Like, that's how much his upside is. You've got Cooper Flagg, the bell of the ball. Probably Andre Kirilenko is his comp. And my personal favorite is VJ Edgecombe, who could be like a smaller Jimmy Butler. How about Jimmy Butler again, Bulls fans? How about him? I wouldn't hate that. So what is up? What is good? What is happening with this identity crisis? Will Gottlieb is going to join us in the next segment. But from his reporting, and I cannot wait to ask him about this, the Bulls don't even know themselves. The Bulls don't even know themselves. Sir, the Bulls GM, Arturis Karnisovas, told the media things are drastically changing versus the way they were last year, and they traded multiple stars away. Starters away, not stars. My bad. They owe a top 10 protected pick to the Spurs. Win total's 30.5. That signals poop, right? But then AK and them boys told Will Gottlieb, we are not looking to be the worst team in the league. We would be content to make the play-in tournament if the players demonstrate sufficient growth. What? You're good with the play-in again? We have reports that the, and AKA leaks, probably from Zach LaVine's agency, AKA Clutch, AKA Rich Paul, that the Clippers are open to trading for Zach LaVine. Does anyone believe that? Do you believe that? When the Clippers lowballed Paul George? A much better player than Zach LaVine? So Zach's going to get so many minutes, they're going to play him. He's going to start him if he's healthy. Because they want to finesse a contender that Zach LaVine is going to help you win. The good news. Yes?
I was going to say, like, you may be getting into it, but I have a fear that the Bulls are going to be too good to be bad. And what I mean by that is a team that may be 11th or 12th when it comes to a lottery team. And that's my biggest worry with the Bulls, because I think they are trying desperately to tank. But then let's say they have to play Zach LaVine because they can't trade him in the offseason. And, like, we don't like Zach LaVine because he's hurt a lot and his contract is ridiculous, but Zach LaVine can get a bucket. And you have Coby White, who's this emerging star. And Vucevic is a confusing center because he can be much better, but he is a good scoring center when he gets the ball and he does what he needs to do. That's where I fear is, like, at this very moment, they have so many more moves they need to do in order to bottom out, and I don't know if they're going to do that or if any other team wants that from the Bulls.
Well, and that's the problem, is it's not just that they could be good enough to mess around and have to give their top 10 protected pick to San Antonio. It's that they're okay with that. It's that that's fine with them, which means they're not really trying to tank. They're fine with, like, middle of the road mediocrity, but they've told us drastic changes are coming. We don't know what's going to happen, which is why Vegas had no win total. They're like, on one hand, you've got to give a pick and let... I mean, look what the Dallas Mavericks did when they owed a top 10 protected pick to the New York Knicks. They tanked to stay out of the play-in. I do not think Reinsdorf and them boys with the top 10 protected pick would do the same thing, which is why the Dallas Mavericks went to the finals the following year after missing the playoffs, and the Bulls will not be going to the finals anytime soon. It's so strange. The good news about Zach LaVine, though, and you'd mentioned that he could get a bucket, which he can, Zach LaVine is not always 51 points in a losing effort. He does not always equate to winning. But the problem for me is that if you play Zach, then you can't develop your young guys. So what is the plan? What's the direction? What is your identity? Who are you building around? I've asked multiple GMs, media members, scouts. I was like on a little 670 to the score scouting mission pretty much during summer league. Hey, do you guys know what the Bulls are trying to do? No one can give me a straight answer. And if you watch press conference footage, if you watch that, AK doesn't seem to know what they want to do either. So nobody knows. Your whole job, when your peers don't know what you're doing, that means you probably don't know what you're doing, because the intel has never been stronger with peers around the league. That's a very, very bad sign. Extremely bad.
Well, who do you think the Bulls are building around? Because I think there's a clear answer on who I think the Bulls are building around.
Modest. I think it's Modest.
Oh, I have a completely different answer. I know you do not like this person, but it feels like they are building a team around Josh Giddey. It feels like they want to have a floor-spreading type of person. He can't shoot like a floor spreader, but someone, when he has the spacing around him to get a bucket, to give those dimes, he is a great playmaker, and it feels like they are building a team around someone offensively. He can't shoot like him, but I think a playmaking Luka light, a diet Luka when it comes to playmaking on the floor. That's where I feel like they're building around, and I don't know if Bulls fans are ready to hear that.
I don't think the Bulls think that, though. Because I asked them, who are you building around? And I have gotten no answers. Literally, like, they won't tell me. Either they're afraid of saying it's Josh P. Giddey. That was a Freudian slip. I didn't mean to say that way. Anyway, so it was kind of a Freudian slip.
But you can't build around Coby White. You can't build around Patrick Williams. You can't build around Jalen Smith. You can't build around Vucevic. So it feels like the only two that are there are Giddey and Bouzelis.
You can't build really around either one of them, right? If you're a smart GM, which I don't, I'm kind of sold on, like, maybe not what we have here? I don't know. Like, I don't know for sure. I'm just saying, like, the indications aren't positive. You say to the media, if I was AK, if I was the GM of the Bulls, I would say what we're doing right now is we're building the connective tissue for a future star. Because connective tissue is just as important in team building in terms of building a winner. Stars are very hard to find. They do not grow on trees. We cannot force ourselves to have a star. We thought that was Zach. That is not Zach, obviously, which is why at some point he's going to be gone like Justin Timberlake. So what we're doing is creating the foundation and the scaffolding when said star, we find him. We're going to accumulate assets. We're going to build organically. You know, all the Sam Presti words. And then when we see a star like a cobra, we're going to strike for said star. We're going to like pay guys on good contracts that can be easily moved. We're just going to be slowly but surely making our way through the NBA game of life, right? Because right now we don't have that guy. And they don't have that guy at all. But don't lie to us or obfuscate and tell us that you got one. And maybe it's modest. Maybe. Maybe it's him. I don't think it's him, though. What say you, Rob?
I think the guy is Josh Giddey, though. I really do believe in him because I know that you are not a big fan of him, but he's very young at his age, what, 21, 22. He does have the ability. He has, like, and he's been extremely healthy his entire career. He is a triple-double threat. He's done that before when it comes to, like, you
10,
put...
10 and 10.
You, like, put him against other historic players. He's, like, his name is mentioned when it comes to, like, players at his age getting triple-doubles. In a young team, I actually kind of like him to emerge as that star. And if he gets another contract, like, are they going to max Josh Giddey? Probably not. So he's probably going to get, I don't know. Let's say he balls out this year. Like, is $30 million a year, like, likely? It could definitely be likely for him. So that's where, like, I think Josh Giddey kind of has the potential to put around him. But when if you talk about, is that successful? Probably no. If your main star is Josh Giddey in this league, that's probably an issue. So their main star that they're building around is that draft pick.
You can't, you have to know that, like, if OKC couldn't even keep them on the floor for the playoffs, you're probably, unless you have a team full of 40% shooters. I mean, he's Ben Simmons. Like, how is he different than Ben Simmons, really, then?
Well, he definitely shoots better than Ben Simmons, but I understand what you're saying. Like, if he is open, shoot it. If you're open, shoot it. Other teams want him to shoot.
But I think he shoots, like, 27% from deep. Maybe less, actually. I think it was 22% in the playoffs. Don't quote me on that. That's off the top of the dome. I hate top of the dome stats because I'm normally not 100% right on that. But just look it up. Like, don't quote me on it at all. But Josh Giddey cannot shoot at all. He will. He's a willing shooter. That hitch is disgusting. It's like the lowest push shot you've ever seen. And the thing that's insane in terms of, like, bad decision making, I guess, is that Chip England is called the most elite shot doctor on planet Earth. He's known for fixing Lou Dort's shot, turning him into a 40% three-point shooter. Could not fix Josh Giddey. So the question for Bulls fans, what is the direction? Does anyone know? Will Gottlieb, Chicago Bulls writer, podcaster for Chicago Sports and Chicago CHGO_Bulls, joins us next to talk about it.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Bezelis with the steal. Drell
can't connect, but Bezelis with the bully ball.
Bezelis pushing the pace for the Bulls. Bezelis,
you're up to the dunk. You get a dunk, and you get a dunk.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Tuesday afternoon, Parkins and Spiegel will be doing something they've never done before, broadcasting live on the field at Wrigley. Parkins and Spiegel will be doing their show on the field from 2 to 6, and we'll be joined by Nico Horner, Craig Counsell, and other special guests prior to Cubs versus Brewers. So you can't miss that. You got to go to that. By the way, Team USA needed South Sudan to miss a bunny with 8 seconds left. Derek White blocked a rebound shot to save the win. Of course he did. That's why he's on that team. Team USA 101-100. They avoid the worst defeat in Team USA history. So back to the show, 670 on the score here, Trista Crick. We've been talking about the lack of vision, the lack of direction within the Bulls organization. And I want to hear from a guy who has been on the pulse of this madness all offseason, Chicago Bulls beat reporter Will Gottlieb. He's going to join us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hey, Will, what's up? How's it going?
How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Man, so we were talking about the Bulls last segment. I was in Vegas for Summer League, and I think it's probably one of the more boring, lackluster Summer Leagues we've had in a long, long time. But Modest was a bright spot. Very confident kid, very explosive, very athletic, extremely aggressive. From what you've seen from him, because let's start with, like, we'll call it good news. What's your takeaway from Modest as a player? And what's a reasonable expectation of him in year one?
Yeah, so I think he's very raw to begin with, but the tools are there. And you know, the ball handling, the shot creation, some of the stuff that he's able to do, just getting downhill, obviously trying to rip the rim off the backboard every single chance he gets. So you love to see him play with that kind of mentality, that energy. I think it's going to give this Bulls team, assuming he gets some minutes next year, a real energy, you know, pulse that they kind of lacked at times for the past couple of years. So super exciting young prospect. The athleticism, the tools are really encouraging, but I think he's got a ways to go just in terms of, like, you know, honing in on some of his skill sets, sharpening his tools, improving the jump shot. His field goal percentage was pretty rough over these first four games, I think 35%. So he's got some work to do, but for the Bulls to get him at 11th overall in the draft, a guy that has some real upside to be, you know, a potentially really dangerous three-level offensive player, I think they have to be really excited about it.
Is he the guy that the Bulls are thinking that they're building around? Because me and my producer, Robbie, were talking about this last segment. Robbie thinks it might be Josh Giddey, which would be very disappointing. Like, if you were to point out a player that the Bulls were actually building around as their franchise player, who is that?
I still think that guy's got to be Kobe. The way that he broke out last year, just putting the ball in his hands and letting him create. I know a lot of what he did was a result of, you know, playing off of DeMar DeRozan and the attention that he creates. So I'm really curious to see how he looks this year in more of a featured role. But I think kind of their goal, and we just had a chance to talk with Arturis and Mark Eversley the other day in Vegas, just kind of about their vision, what they're trying to build. And the takeaway is that they wanted to get a young core of experienced players. So young players who, you know, have been around the league for a few years, but still have a lot of upside. And I think they're very confident in the group that they've put together. I think Giddey's a huge piece of that. They obviously targeted him in the Alex Caruso trade. You bring back Patrick Williams. You've got Kobe. You bring in Modest Buzelis. They're very high on Iotasumu. So they've got a young core. I'm not sure if they've got a guy who can be like number one on a championship team. Maybe they can get him if they're able to keep their pick in next year's draft. But that's kind of the risk that you run by not doing the full-on teardown. And so it is a fine line that they're walking, but I think they're pretty confident in Kobe, in Giddey, in Patrick, and those guys that I mentioned, just in all of them continuing to build and develop their skills and take steps forward.
There were a lot of reports that came out during Summer League, but the one that I was fascinated with was by you, that the Bulls are not aiming to be one of the worst teams in the league. They would be content with a play-in or playoff appearance if the young players demonstrate sufficient growth. So from what I understand about that conversation, it was like more along the lines of like, yeah, if players play better than we expect, if Giddey gets better and is a triple-double machine, if Vooch and LaVine are playing a lot of minutes and playing well and we win more games than expected, we're okay with that. Like, is that what you gathered from the conversation? Or was that, like, what was the general takeaway in the context of that statement?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit misinterpreted on Twitter. But I think for the most part, like, this is a team that wanted to avoid this, like, 2-3-4-5-year rebuilding process that the Brooklyn Nets are now undergoing after the Mikal Bridges trade, right? They don't want to be the worst team in the league for the next 5 years. That's why they kind of targeted these younger players that they think can grow and develop, but it also kind of kickstarts this rebuild process that they don't have to go through, you know, many painful years the way the Bulls did from 2017 to 2020. So I think that is kind of like their process. And, you know, as I said before, it is kind of a fine line to walk, but at the same time, it's kind of a, you know, win-win situation, because if they are really bad next year and none of the young players take steps forward, then they've got a chance to draft, you know, a franchise-changing player in the top 10. But if they do make the play-in or they do make the playoffs, it's because somebody really took a step forward, whether it's Patrick Williams or Modest really pops and just turns into that franchise guy. I think they're not, like, necessarily aiming to keep their pick, but I don't think that, like, they are also trying to, you know, tank and, you know, tear it all down by any means necessary either.
Why would they not want to keep their pick when one of the most, we'll call it, hyped draft classes that we've seen since, I mean, I guess the Wembanyama draft obviously was huge too, but it feels like this is one of the better drafts that we've seen in a while.
Yeah, it's going to be a really strong draft. Cooper Flagg's obviously the headliner, but you've got Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper, BJ Edgecombe, a ton of guys that I think could be really good at the NBA level. And so I don't think that their goal is to make the playoffs necessarily. I think it's more just like, if that happens to be the end result, then it will have been because something really good happened. But I do think that, like, you know, you're not trading your two best players from last year and expecting to take like a massive step forward either. I think they kind of understand, look, we're putting ourselves in a situation where We've got this young core. We're either going to be able to keep our pick next year or somebody pops. And then, you know, we're really on track because, you know, Patrick Williams became an all-star or something to that effect.
Wow. Yeah. And to me, it feels like Patrick Williams may be just a really good contract to maybe flip moving forward. Do they believe in Patrick Williams, in your opinion, or is it kind of like a little part of column A, a little part of column B?
No, I think they really do. He was really playing some of his best basketball in December prior to getting hurt last year. And, you know, I think that when you look at the NBA and the way teams are built right now, it's like everybody wants these 6'7", 6'8", athletic wings that can dribble, pass, shoot, that can defend. And I think Patrick's got a lot of work to do in terms of like creating his own shot, but he's already got the tools to be a really good role player. And with the new CBA, like the way the money is going right now, they're paying him to be a role player. So anything that they get on top of that, I think they're going to be really thrilled with. But they've certainly, I mean, they prioritize him over DeMar DeRozan. So that should kind of indicate that, you know, they clearly they wanted to go in this younger direction, but also that I think he's somebody they can really build with moving forward. Like I said, I'm not sure he's going to be like Kawhi Leonard 2.0 the way that people were kind of talking about him when he was drafted. But even if he's not, I mean, if he's a good role player that can shoot at a high level, that can defend at a high level, that's really valuable, especially at his size. And so certainly that's something that they wanted to retain and build with as a part of their future. And I think he's already ready to do that. So he's just got to get healthy and continue to add his game. But I like Patrick. I think he's going to be a good player, and I think he's going to have a lot more opportunity now with DeRozan out of the picture.
You mentioned that if this team makes the play-in, it's because somebody's popped. But this team also still has two guys that can really score in Vucevic and in Zach LaVine. And I think that the fact that they're going to get minutes in order to try to like increase their draft or increase their trade stock might make this team too talented to fail. Like, do you think that in terms of that, Zach LaVine is going to get a lot of minutes because of that? And like, if so, how do you think that affects the development of the rest of the young guys?
Yeah, that's kind of the trickiest part of doing this like partial turning of the page, right? You've still got two guys that were headliners and future players in the last era, and you can't get rid of them. I mean, I think if there were trades available for those guys, they would have already been done, but the Bulls do not want to add picks in order to move off of them, which I understand. And so this is kind of the situation that you're put in when you sign guys to contracts that don't turn out well. So I think the best thing for Zach and the best thing for the organization is for Zach to come back and prove that he can still play at a high level, and that, you know, $43 million next year is not going to really break the bank for a team that might be interested, and hope that you can move him before or at the trade deadline. You know, they did not really like go out and say we are trying to get rid of this guy by any means, but clearly building a young team, prioritizing some of those younger players in free agency and in trades, he's not going to be a part of like the long-term future. And you know, you do run the risk of him boosting the floor of your team to where you may run the risk of, you know, maybe conveying that pick to San Antonio next year, top 10 protected. But at the same time, like DeRozan and Caruso were responsible for such a high percentage of the team's wins last year. And I don't think they're going to be the worst team in the league, but I also think they're going to be considerably worse than last year, just with, you know, Caruso having all these like game saving defensive plays and DeRozan carrying this team in the clutch to one of the second best record in the league in the clutch last year. So I think just by not having those guys, you're going to have some big fall off. And then, you know, does the growth from some of the other younger players, does that cancel that out or exceed it? And I think that's the big question. But like I said, I think if those guys had deals available for them, they would already be done. And so they've just got to continue to prove their value and hope the Bulls can move off of them by the deadline.
In terms of reporting, I saw a report today that some are speculating that the Clippers would be interested in Zach LaVine. Do you believe that report, given how the Clippers treated Paul George and the way the new salary cap rules are structured?
Yeah, it's a super weird situation for them, just letting Paul George walk for nothing. One of the things, or one of the reasons why, is that they didn't want to give him that fourth year. And so Zach having only 3 years left on his contract, maybe he fits the timeline of what they were looking into a little bit more. You bring in a former All-Star player to kind of replace, and a little bit younger than Paul George, maybe you hope you can build forward with him. But I think if I were the Clippers, I'd be more interested in just kind of letting this year play out, getting to a point in 25 or 26 when you have cap space again, and then making moves from there. So I could see it. It depends on, like, the price, right? If they can get him for free or the Bulls willing to give up a pick to get him, I don't think that's the case. But, you know, there's a cost for everything. And if he meets the price where it's, like, worth it to take on that contract, I think they could be interested. And he certainly fits with, like, a team that is going into a new stadium, that wants to play better, that wants to compete for the playoffs, that has no incentive to take because they traded all their picks. So I could see it if it happens cheaply, but again, I think if there were a trade out there for Zach or even Vooch, that the Bulls would have already moved on it.
Do you think that if it's the trade deadline, fast forward there, and the market still dictates that this organization needs to attach a pick or some version of picks to get off of Vooch and to get off of Zach LaVine, that this organization will still be stubborn and keep them on the team until next offseason?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the mentality right now. Just like you're entering this era where you're taking a step back, and it's a very tough pill to swallow to have to give up, you know, picks in order to move off of bad contracts. Typically, if you're a bad team or you're starting to rebuild, you're like offering to take on bad contracts from other teams in exchange for picks. And so the way I see it is like, you know, yes, you're going to have to play Zach, you're going to have to play Vooch, but at the same time, it's much better than having to give up potential first-round picks in order to move them. And so I think we'll see how the season goes and what it looks like closer to the deadline. My sense and my feeling is that just Zach's going to improve his value just by virtue of him being on the court and being healthy. Because I think, you know, just being injured last year really played into this narrative about him that he's this injury-prone player, that he doesn't impact winning. And if he just gets back out there, I think teams will remember how talented a scorer he is and maybe get interested. So I think ultimately the Bulls do not want to move any assets in order to get rid of those guys. Maybe that changes down the line, but I think right now, kind of entering this step back phase, that they're kind of prepared to just kind of eat that contract and deal with it until they can move off of it.
Fascinating. We'll have to see whether they're interested in benching those guys if it's the trade deadline and they still can't get off them. You were in Vegas, though, before I let you run. On a positive note, was there any other Bulls players that you watched that you enjoyed and you think could actually contribute on an NBA roster?
A couple. I was really pleased with what I saw from Julian Phillips. I think he's the kind of like 3-and-D role player that every team is looking for. I mean, 6'7", 6'8", can shoot it pretty well, very athletic, really bouncy. So I could see him getting some minutes, and I think he's going to continue to grow and develop as a shooter. Adama Sanogo is another guy who, you know, he doesn't really fit into like the modern NBA in terms of like, he's not this switchable defensive big. He's not somebody that's going to catch lobs above the rim, but he's really soft touch. He's got a nice little hook shot, and he just rebounds the hell out of the ball. So I think he's somebody that is on a two-way right now but could eventually earn some minutes down the stretch. And then, of course, DJ Stewart, who had 37 last night against the Hawks. He's somebody that is not under contract right now, but the Bulls do have one open two-way spot, and it feels like he's really making a case for himself.
Awesome stuff. That's Will Gottlieb, Chicago Bulls beat writer, podcaster for Chicago Sports and Chicago CHGO_Bulls. Thank you so much for joining us, Will. I appreciate all your candor.
Thank you.
Good stuff from Will. My goodness, Robbie. I think Will is a good tap dancer. Really, like, it must be hard to cover this Bulls team. I know how sensitive they get. He did a great job of giving us insight at the same time as making sure he doesn't get canceled. Coming up next, speaking of a team that might need to get canceled, the Cubs. Is what we're seeing Fugazi? Or is it something that we could actually build on moving forward? Last segment of the show, a little bit before Cubs pregame, 312-644-6767. Trista Crick here on The Score.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That's right. A little BBL Drizzy to end the show. Tonight, the Cubs and Diamondbacks continue their series from Wrigley Field. The Score will have the only local broadcast of the game, by the way. Pre-game coverage starts at 5:40. First pitch is at 6:15 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Oh, yes, we're closing this thing out right before pregame. MLB trade deadline. I don't know why I said NBA. We were just talking about the Bulls. MLB trade deadline is looming. It's just barreling down. Despite losing last night, The Cubbies are 8-4 in their last 12. 8-4. And all of a sudden, things are starting to get, for some, exciting again. There are rumblings. There are some whispers. What should Jed Hoyer do? Should he buy at the deadline? Should he do what he did last year, try to make a run at the playoffs? As I said, in the open, 5 games under .500 at this point, just 3.5 games back of the NL wild card. Last year at this point, the Cubs were actually 5.5 games back of the wild card. And if you recall, they only finished just 1 game out of the playoffs. So should we be excited? Should I be excited? Should you be excited? Is this what we're seeing real? No, it is fugazi. This is fugazi. Do not F with me. I've already gotten finessed. I try to say, oh, it's Gemini season. The bats are going to heat up, blah, 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 blah. We can't wait for July 15th for things to start getting good. We can't. As I said the last time I was on these airwaves, I'm not sure why this is a topic. I'm not sure why this is a debate. And by the way, if we're talking about selling, which is what I am a proponent of, it is no better time when you're 8-4 in the last 12, when these players are actually doing something to get some value out of them. Right now is when Warren Buffett would sell. Right now. Jed Hoyer, are you listening? You should sell. The Cubs need to come to terms with the fact you know who you are. You're not a good situation. You're not a good team. You have a bad payroll. In May, optimists. I thought it could turn around. Gemini season. Cubs don't need to be sellers. They need to, you know, just find a way to get Pete Alonso, finesse him. Now, I don't even think the Cubs should be like partial sellers. I think it's full to the studs. Get rid of everybody. Garage sale. Everyone must go. I know this is maybe not a great segment to a lead in of a pregame show, but like, listen, just be happy with the good vibes. Just be happy with what you have right now. Take a serious hard look in the mirror. If you're going to be bad, I'm just like a proponent of if you're going to be bad, be terrible. There's no trophy for 9th place. Really? Let's face it. No one thinks as constructed that this roster is going to do anything. Make the playoffs is a pipe dream. In order to really add the stars that you would need to actually win, it will cost you so much that it would cripple the team. You would be hamstrung in the long term. Adding is just a band-aid. Not too many teams are willing to sell. So it be you. Let it be you, baby. You're one of the only ones that are going to come to the table and give something of value. Cubs fans, I think, have Stockholm Syndrome. Suffering. You're being gaslit about your current place, and as a very interested outsider, you're not competitive. The call's coming from inside the house. I know it's not what you want to hear, but you're basically the Marvin Lewis Cincinnati Bengals right now. Baby, baby, you don't want that. You don't want Andy Dalton or any team coached by Jeff Fisher. That is not a compliment. That is not a compliment. So to me, be excited about the team before the teardown. Just like this might be the last quote-unquote competitive baseball you get. I just enjoy the wins. You swept the Orioles. 2024, put the pennant up. You swept the Orioles in July. That's the one. That is all the time that we have today. I had such a good time. I had a blast. Thank you all for tuning in. Thanks to Chris Emma and Will Gottlieb. And, of course, my man, producer extraordinaire Robbie Triano, the kid. Give him a follow at Triano, the kid. And stay tuned to 670 The Score for the Cubs versus the Diamondbacks. Pre-game starts right here in 45 minutes, and I will see you there real soon. I'm Trista Crick. You can find me at This Heat Check and at Trista Crick on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. Be good to yourself and to other people. We'll see you next time.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That's right. A little BBL drizzy to end the show. Tonight, the Cubs and Diamondbacks continue their series from Wrigley Field. The Score will have the only local broadcast of the game, by the way. Pre-game coverage starts at 5:40. First pitch is at 6:15 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Oh, yes, we're closing this thing out right before pregame. MLB trade deadline. I don't know why I said NBA. We were just talking about the Bulls. MLB trade deadline is looming. It's just barreling down. Despite losing last night, the Cubbies are 8-4 in their last 12. 8-4. And all of a sudden, things are starting to get, for some, exciting again. There are rumblings. There are some whispers. What should Jed Hoyer do? Should he buy at the deadline? Should he do what he did last year, try to make a run at the playoffs? As I said, in the open, five games under 500 at this point, just 3.5 games back of the NL wild card. Last year at this point, the Cubs were actually 5.5 games back of the wild card, and if you recall, they only finished just one game out of the playoffs. So should we be excited? Should I be excited? Should you be excited? Is this what we're seeing real? No, it is Fugazi. This is Fugazi. Do not F with me. I've already gotten finessed. I try to say, oh, it's Gemini season. The bats are going to heat up, blah, 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 blah. We can't wait for July 15th for things to start getting good. We can't. As I said the last time I was on these airwaves, I'm not sure why this is a topic. I'm not sure why this is a debate. And by the way, if we're talking about selling, which is what I am a proponent of, it is no better time when you're 8-4 in the last 12 when these players are actually doing something to get some value out of them. Right now is when Warren Buffett would sell. Right now. Jed Hoyer, are you listening? You should sell. The Cubs need to come to terms with the fact You know who you are. You're not a good situation. You're not a good team. You have a bad payroll. In May, optimists. I thought it could turn around. Gemini season. Cubs don't need to be sellers. They need to, you know, just find a way to get Pete Alonso, finesse him. Now, I don't even think the Cubs should be like partial sellers. I think it's full to the studs. Get rid of everybody. Garage sale. Everyone must go. I know this is maybe not a great segment to a lead-in of a pregame show, but like, listen, just be happy with the good vibes. Just be happy with what you have right now. Take a serious hard look in the mirror. If you're going to be bad, I'm just like a proponent of if you're going to be bad, be terrible. There's no trophy for ninth place. Really. Let's face it. No one thinks as constructed that this roster is going to do anything. Make the playoffs is a pipe dream. In order to really add the stars that you would need to actually win, it will cost you so much that it would cripple the team. You would be hamstrung in the long term. Adding is just a band-aid. Not too many teams are willing to sell. So it be you. Let it be you, baby. You're one of the only ones that are going to come to the table and give something of value. Cubs fans, I think, have Stockholm Syndrome. Suffering. You're being gaslit about your current place, and as a very interested outsider, you're not competitive. The call's coming from inside the house. I know it's not what you want to hear, but you're basically the Marvin Lewis Cincinnati Bengals right now. Baby, baby, you don't want that. You don't want Andy Dalton or any team coached by Jeff Fisher. That is not a compliment. That is not a compliment. So to me, be excited about the team before the teardown. Just like, this might be the last quote-unquote competitive baseball you get. I just enjoy the wins. You swept the Orioles. 2024, put the pennant up. You swept the Orioles in July. That's the one. That's the one. That is all the time that we have today. I had such a good time. I had a blast. Thank you all for tuning in. Thanks to Chris Emma and Will Gottlieb. And, of course, my man, producer extraordinaire Robbie Triano, the kid. Give him a follow at Triano, the kid. And stay tuned to 670 The Score for the Cubs versus the Diamondbacks. Pre-game starts right here in 45 minutes, and I will see you there real soon. I'm Trista Crick. You can find me at This Heat Check and at Trista Crick on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. Be good to yourself and to other people. We'll see you next time.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.